Today on Real Radio.
It didn't matter how healthy I was back then, before I came to Jesus. It didn't matter how popular or how whatever. See, I thought it mattered then. But at the end of the day, at night, everything was still empty. There was still a deep sense of loneliness that I thought, you know what, it's okay. I'll get up tomorrow and I'll do it again. I'll make more money tomorrow. I'll stay longer at the job. And this next relationship, I won't do that thing I did before. I'll do a new thing. And I'll just keep trying like a good, you know, Hindu. I'll keep doing it until I get it right and then earn my wings.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Acts. Over the next few months, we'll be examining this New Testament narrative verse by verse. However, our teacher is conducting a mini-series taken from the last few verses of chapter 2. You see, therein lies a description of the life of the believer, at least in the area of living with other Christians. And so our teacher delivers a mini-series taken from this New Testament narrative called Why Should I? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing in the first study in this series. It's called, Why Should I Go to Church?
A second consideration under this point, why should I go to church? Because the church is God's creation. We are a unique gathering, yes. And listen, not only that, but we come together to do God's will. There's no greater force on the planet to execute God's will than when we come together as a church. God's desire is to use us, His people, to get His job done in the world. Will you jot that down? God wants to use us as His people to get His job done. And to me, this is always so humbling. People, I just want to be very transparent with you these weeks that we have together. Isn't it an absolute mind blower that God would want to use you and I? I'm going to ask again for those of you who are awake. Isn't it just a mind blower that God would use people like you and I to get His job done? Yeah. Isn't it amazing to me? But God, isn't that how we respond to Him? But God says, Jack, I got a job for you to do. But God, I don't see anybody running up and, Lord, here I am, man. I mean, I got it. I got all the things you need. Come on, Lord, wind me up and let me go. Man, I don't know anybody like that. And if I see somebody like that, I'm going to wonder what they're on. You know what? I see from Moses all the way through to myself. Jack, I got a job for you to do. God, I come from a long line of decliners. I don't want to do that. I'm not gifted. I can't do it. I'm going to fail. I'm scared. Or when I was little, I would say, I'm afraid and scared. No way! And what does God say? Come on, I'm going to do this through you. Church, whoever you and I are, God's got a job for us to do. You need to ask yourself, write it real, you can write it down and let nobody see it, but you can ask yourself this question. How is God accomplishing His will in the world through my life? That's the life of the believer. God is using you. Every believer ought to be able to say, well, you know what? God is using my life to promote His will in the earth. It may not be as grand as I would hope, or maybe I'm not being as effective as I'd like, but I know He's using me. Can you honestly say that? I'm not talking about your insecurities and your frailties. We have them. But can you, in all honesty, giving glory to God, say, you know what? The Lord has used me this last week. Did you make yourself available for God to use you? Or will you go from this place today and say, God, make my faith a valuable tool in your hands. I want to be used by you. Well, God's desire is to get that job done through us. And there's three things I want you to jot down regarding him getting his will done in the earth. That should result in a passionate life, a dedicated life, and a practical life. Passionate, dedicated, and practical. Listen, passionate because we have something to live for as Christians. We have something to live for. If you've come here this morning and you would say you're a Christian, you would say that you're a Christian, but you're not very dedicated. You're not very practical about your Christianity, meaning there's no passion in your Christianity. But you say you're a Christian. Is it true? I've heard this week, don't know if it's true or not, but I have never heard Shaquille O'Neal say that he was a Christian. Yet the media reports that he left Christianity to become a Muslim. Well, if he was a Christian witness, then, you know, I'm the gingerbread man, for crying out loud. I mean, that's crazy. You can say something, but the life that you live speaks louder than the words we utter. Is Christianity passionate? Is it dedicated to my life? And is it practical? When someone looks at your life and my life, is God's will being brought to pass by how you and I live? Jesus put it this way in Matthew 5:14. You, us, we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Question, church, for all of us, for me, is God's will being done in my life? If that's true, there will be those in the world either commenting favorably or criticizing us in a negative fashion regarding God's will being done. What I mean by that is, and friend, I hope you all know this by now, if you're going to be a Christian, people are not going to run up and pat you on the back and say, I'm so glad you're a Christian. Well, look at you. They're going to probably hate you. Jesus said they hated him first. They're going to hate us too. So when they glorify our Father, which is in heaven, by our good works, it doesn't mean they pat us on the back and say, wow, it's so neat knowing you. They could say, you know what? You make me sick. You're this, you're that, you're praying. Stop praying for my family. Stop praying for this street that you live on. Stop telling people that God loves them. As they say that, did you know that? As they say that, they're giving glory to God in heaven. You just thought it was all good news, huh? No, even when they curse our righteousness, they're giving glory to God. When they criticize us, when they get angry, they give glory to God. They don't even know it. I love that. Our next consideration under this point is bringing God glory, certainly. Why should I go to church? Because it's God's special creation. Why should I go to church? Because it's there that I get to bring God glory. People, simply put, God loves the fact of us coming together. Now, you know what? Outside of a special, maybe it's a vacation, maybe it's a holiday thing that you're away, you're to be in church. I'm to be in church with you. I don't want to sound legalistic by no means at all, and I'm not being. But you know what? Unless you're sick or on vacation, me too, I should be in church. Why? Because God says so. Why? Because it's the way I can bring him glory. And plus, when we come together a couple times a week, we are strengthened. The Christian's living, breathing, and billboard in life is to bring glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, 1 Peter 2, 9 says, but you are a chosen generation. Isn't that wonderful? A royal priesthood, God says, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of God who called you out of darkness into light. See, when we come to church, there's people, by the way, watch this, though we're kind of remote and out of the way, there's people possibly driving down the main avenue out here and saying, what are all those cars parked there? Oh, someone might say, that's a church. Somebody may say, you know, look at all the traffic going in and out of that place. What's going on? You know what? Maybe we should pull in there and see what's happening, you know? By you just gathering, it brings glory to God in an extenuating manner. But by us being together, sitting together, learning, letting the Holy Spirit work in our lives, God is using these times to bring glory. Why should I go to church? Why should I gather together? 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man, the spiritual man, is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. That is when we get to heaven. Listen. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Think about what's seen in my life, in your life. Bills, pain, suffering, sickness, accidents, injury, trouble, terrorism. It's fleeting. It's passing. But the things we're to look at are things that are eternal, things that cannot be seen with the human eye. Every time you and I come together as a church and we get the message, we worship together, we as a church will be bringing glory to God. Second consideration, number two in our point this morning is, why should I go to church? Because the family of God is here. The family of God is there. Church. The church is where we can come together united as one people. Now listen carefully to this. I'm not going to quote it exactly. You can look it up later, but it's in Galatians chapter 5, and it's the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh, the scripture says, among them is one thing that God hates, and it is division. Did you know that? Factions. Not fractions like math. Factions. Cliques that damage. Now, in a large church, we would wrongly call a clique or gathering a clique. So, for example, in a large church, I notice something peculiar. Maybe not. I notice you guys kind of always sit in that area right there. You guys always sit in that area there. Yeah, you guys are always... Uh-huh. The Courtneys, they always sit right there. Grandma and Grandma Courtney, always there. Mike and Olivia Lee, they're there always. Mark Andrews and Mary, always back over this area, looking around. Yeah. Listen. When the church grows, sitting in these areas that you do, that's a good thing. You wonder why? You get to know people that are around you. You get to see them, and after a while, you begin to talk to them, and they begin to talk to you. That's a good thing. That is not a clique. It's not a clique. A clique is to form a group that no one else can get into. Now, if you had little bubbles, like this is your area, a little roped off, our area, right there, nobody comes in. That's a clique. That would be wrong. It would be wrong for you to come and say, you know what? You're sitting in my seat. Aha. Uh-huh. That's not right. Just keep your mouth shut, sit down next to them and say, hey, how are you? And get there earlier next week. But it's going to be fun when they open the door. When you open the door to the new building, see everybody run into their spot, we're going to have to add an extra hour for the first service because people are going to be like little chickens kind of testing the nest, you know, moving over, the angle of the view. It's going to be hilarious. We're going to need to have practice. Where do you want to sit? Husbands and wives will be pulled apart. Children torn in pieces as they dive for their seat. I want to sit here. Oh, it's going to be a great thing. We have to get that on camera. It's going to be fun. The family of God is where church is. That's why you should go to church. Yet another reason. The family of God is there. Number one under this, all of us need to study God's word and grow. Every one of us. Where does that happen? On a grand scale? Yes, every day we study the Bible as individuals. We read the scriptures and pray. But God has commanded us to come together and study the word in a church. There's a special dynamic, people, you know. If you get the tape, it's not the same. You ever have that happen? Oh, you should get the video. You should get the tape. You should get the CD. Oh, you know what? It's okay. It's not the same. Why? I love this. No matter how much technology advances, no matter what, there is a spiritual thing regarding church that can never be substituted. You got to be there. Have you noticed that? Oh, such a great service, such a wonderful service. Here, listen to the tape. And then somebody goes, that was all right. They were not in worship. They were not greeting one another. They didn't have church. I love the way the brothers and sisters down south say it. We're going to go and we're going to have church. We're going to have church. That's the way it ought to be. It has nothing to do with a building. It's not the building. It's not the address. It's the physical and spiritual dynamic of coming together and having church. It's us being together. It's a dynamic. And the great point of that, about that dynamic, is the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught us this, that when we come together, the Holy Spirit is desiring to take the Bible and teach us corporately as a body of believers. It's called church. We can have church on the side of a hill. We've had church on the Mount of Beatitudes in Israel. We've had church, remember, at the baptism down at Corona Del Mar, down at the beach. That's church. We can gather together at the coffee house out there on the patio. That's church. We can go camping. You can go on vacation. That's church. When you come together and seek the Lord and worship Him and adore Him, it's church. It's where God's gift of teaching and preaching happens in the church setting. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, be diligent, Christian, to present yourself approved to God, a worker, that is one who studies the Word of God, who does not need to be ashamed, more on that in a second, rightly dividing the Word of truth. It's so sad, and this is a pastor's nightmare. I tell you, this is my plague, that for any of you, if I know you or not, it's a plague of my heart that someone would knock on your door from a cult and you open that door and you don't know what to say. Either A, I have horribly failed in my calling, or B, something equally horrible, you failed to listen. We are to present ourselves dedicated to the study of the Word of God that we may never be ashamed. When someone asks us, hey, what about this? We should be able to give an answer from the Bible. That's something that happens in church. You get equipped and strengthened in church. All of us are new spiritual creations. And we grow by being together in church. Another thing, all of us need to break from the past. Think about it. All of us need a break from the past. I don't mean a timeout. I'm going to take a break from my past. And then I'll punch back in and pick it up later. No, I mean a break, like a absolute severing. We need to be broken away from our past. What does that have to do with church? It has everything to do with it. You want to know why? People together, you and I, are focused on new life. We're focused on new life. We're focused in a new direction. We have new things to talk about. We have life in common. Are you with me? Are you guys okay? Okay. A break from our past. How do I put this? I'm speaking this right from my heart. And I don't know how it's going to come across or apply to you. But it doesn't matter. It didn't matter how much money I had in the bank. It didn't matter how healthy I was back then before I came to Jesus. It didn't matter how popular or how whatever. See, I thought it mattered then. But at the end of the day, at night, everything was still empty. There was still a deep sense of loneliness that I thought, you know what, it's okay. I'll get up tomorrow and I'll do it again. I'll make it more money tomorrow. I'll stay longer at the job. And this next relationship, I won't do that thing I did before. I'll do a new thing. And I'll just keep trying like a good, you know, Hindu. I'll keep doing it until I get it right and then earn my wings. I'll just reincarnate myself. That's what the world is doing today without Jesus. They're going to try tomorrow to not make the mistakes that they've been making. And what happens? You wind up making other mistakes that are just as horrible. And then when you come to Christ and you see that God forgives you, that God loves you, that there's a whole new family to have. People, do you know what I'm talking about? There's a new family. It's absolutely a mind blower to me. I don't want my past. I have been a Christian long enough and have walked with Jesus where this is pretty exciting now, but even my old stomping grounds down in Newport Beach and Corona del Mar and all that stuff, now I can go there because now there's so many Christian memories there. But my kids will say, how did you know that that street led to this street? Well, I can say, well, your mom and I used to come down here before we were even married, and we used to rollerblade here, or skate, or ride our bicycles here. But if I went way back, I could say, well, this is where I was at Mike Foley's party the night that, beep. Pastor, will you tell us? No! Why? Because I've been broken from the past! My past is off! I'm not pulling that trailer around anymore! And I don't want to talk about it. I don't even want to see things that remind me of that. Now, thank God, we can go down and do this or do that and have so many years behind us that we've done it in Jesus. That's a great thing. I love that. We need encouragement, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We should come together at church to get a break from the past. The number one thing in my life that has broken me away from the past is for my life to have meant someone in someone else's life, and they now know me after Jesus, not after the world. And I love that. There is not, I don't think, and I'll have to wait till third service, but there's not one person in this place that I knew in the world. I mean, Evelyn Dale is there. Yes, I see Evelyn. Evelyn has known me since I was 15 years old. So she knew me in the world. Well, I don't think anybody else is around here. And I'm glad. I'm really glad. So that what, when you and I talk, when we see each other at the restaurant or at the gas pump, you know what? It's all in the Lord. Have you noticed? Oh, people, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you ought to come to church. You ought to go to church more often. Establish a family, because that's who we really are in the Spirit, as a family. Establish that family. It's a beautiful way to live.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called Why Should I Go to Church? A study taken from the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 2. We'll hear the conclusion of this study on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. This presentation is actually part of a series within a series as we journey through this New Testament narrative called simply, Why Should I? It answers questions that have to do with the life of the believer. Why should I fellowship? Why should I evangelize? And issues of that nature. Well, there is something we'd like you to know regarding this Why Should I series. We are making it available to you all on one MP3 CD. And for your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send it to you. You can read more about it if you'd like simply by paying us a visit at realradioactive.org and under the banner Special Offer, realradioactive.org. Or call us using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, if you missed any of this contact information, just remember realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.